Last Friday, King County Sheriff's deputies shot and killed a pregnant Native American woman. Renee Davis was reportedly suicidal and had a gun. She was home alone with her two children, aged 3 and 2. We know the deputies had come to Davis's home to check on her welfare. We also know the deputies shot and killed Renee Davis and that her death fits into a pattern. Native Americans die at the hands of the police at a disturbingly high rate, higher than even African Americans. Tribes all over Indian country, and especially here in the Northwest, are calling attention to that fact with a movement, Native Lives Matter. Investigative journalist Stephanie Woodard wrote about it in her article titled, "The Police Killings No One is Talking About."
This month has been a very deadly month for Native people. There have been at least 8 deaths so far this month, including Renee's. 7 men were killed. 2 were Oglala, Rex Vance Wilson, who was shot in Las Vegas, and Antoine Ladeau, who died in Nebraska. 3 Native men appear to have been shot in Oklahoma this month, including one who is so far simply described as a homeless Native American. A Native man from Lumberton, North Carolina, appears to have been shot during the recent hurricane there, and Kiana Little Dog was shot in Midland, Texas. And as far as I can tell, there has been a small amount of local coverage of each of these incidents, but no protests, no national awareness, no big legacy media covering their passing.
Compared to other groups, how likely is it that a Native American will be killed at the hands of police?
They are slightly more likely to be killed than African Americans. I think the ratio is 1.1 to 1. They are 3.1 times more likely to be killed than white people. In the case of Native women, the figures skew much higher. Native women are 2.5 times more likely to be killed than black women. And I think it's 4-point-something times more likely to be killed than white women. That is one thing that is distinctive about this group. Generally speaking, being young and male is a big predictor of getting shot. But in the case of Native people, there are more women involved, and there are more older people, people in their 30s and 40s, who are killed.
We know here in the Northwest about particularly the shooting of John T. Williams, a Native woodcarver. His death in a police shooting sparked reforms of the Seattle Police Department's use of force. There's a second, somewhat less familiar name in the Northwest. Will you tell us the story of Jackie Salyers?
Yes. Jackie Salyers was a 30-some-year-old Puyallup woman. She had 4 children and was actually pregnant at the time that she was shot. She was sitting in a parked car with her boyfriend, who was wanted on weapons and drug charges. Police drove by, recognized him, and approached them, told them to put their hands up, and so on. Jackie started up the car. Now, the officer who then shot her said that she was driving at him fast, and he was standing right in the center of her front bumper. And when you look at the damage to the car, the shots appeared, in fact, to come from alongside the car, and the shooter's partner also placed him along the side of the car toward the front, but not smack dab in the middle of the car. So there was something. It was odd. Things didn't match, and there wasn't video footage. There was a police surveillance camera on the street that malfunctioned during the incident, apparently, and there were some security cameras on the house that it all happened right in front of. The police took the 3 security cameras and the hard drives to which they were attached as part of their investigation and broke and or lost all of them. So there appears to be some sort of obfuscation or incompetence or something going on in, or a combination of both of those in terms of the investigation. In any case, a young woman is dead, and it creates grief and shock that moves on beyond the incident itself.
What has happened as a result of Jackie Salyers' death?
Well, her family started meeting as a family to try to come to grips with all of this. And gradually, other people from around the area, from Seattle, from where, though there have been police reforms, Shea Taylor was shot fairly recently. People from Seattle, people from Olympia, around the region, came down to Puyallup to join in their meetings. And at the meeting that I attended, there were people there who were Puyallup tribal members, people from other tribes, Latino people, Black people, white people, all ages, and all kinds of relationships to the issue. But all of those people were there, and the Puyallups had a traditional talking circle, and everyone went around the circle, and then afterward there was a meal. And a number of the women came up to me afterward and said that they felt safer there on the reservation, surrounded by this family and this tribe and these people than they did elsewhere. And it resonated with the Puyallups' name for themselves, which is the, in their language, it translates as something like the generous and welcoming people.
You're painting a big picture of, when you talk about Native lives mattering, you lay out a devastating case in your article for how Native lives are not valued, and this goes beyond police killings. Do you see any sign of hope that anything is changing?
This month does not look good. However, I really do think that what's going on in Washington with Proposition 873, with the John T. Williams initiative...
You're talking about an initiative to make it easier to prosecute police officers,
yes,
in the event.
Exactly.
Of...
What it does is it removes the malice clause from the law. Right now in Washington, in order to prosecute an officer on criminal charges for having contributed to someone's death, you would have to prove that he or she did it with malice. And what attorneys told me is malice is a state of mind, so it's essentially impossible to prove. Now, the removing of malice, the malice exception from the law, would not affect all of the other circumstances described in which police may use force or even lethal force if it is necessary. But it removes that essentially blanket exception. And the Puyallups are not the only people, and the people going to the Puyallup meeting are not the only people involved in gathering signatures. There are many people in Seattle. The NAACP is involved. So there are big organizations. And as a matter of fact, Lisa Hayes, who actually wrote the text of the initiative and is an advocate that's very much involved in this, said that she hopes that through this initiative, this becomes a conversation that is, as she put it, on every porch and at every dinner table. Because we've been talking about proportions here, but there are white people, there are Asian people, there are many people who die either in the initial encounter with the police or in custody right afterward. So all of us need to care.
Investigative journalist Stephanie Woodard. We are tweeting a link to her story, The Police Killings No One Is Talking About. So join us on Twitter at KUOW.